I'd like to call the Transportation Finance Division order. You have a copy of the minutes on your desk, and just for reference, we have not been able to get connected with Representative Yara, so that's just kind of an open thing in your minutes. Other than that, would Representative Morgan move the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes from February 22.
Representative Morgan has moved the minutes for February 22nd. Any questions or comments? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, minutes are approved. Today we have on the schedule House File 3090 by Representative Morrow. Representative Morrow, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 3090 to move to the Finance Committee.
To be passed and sent to the
Finance.
Okay, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask two testifiers to join me at this point, David Martini and Joe Pignato. Mr. Chair, members, this is a bill, House File 3090, which would direct the Commissioner of Transportation to appoint a Deputy Commissioner Chief Engineer. Currently, the Commissioner has the power under statute to establish four positions unclassified. This would use one of those four positions and require that position to be a professional engineer. This was an attempt on my part not to direct attention or attempt to change the commissioner role itself. My belief was that the commissioner should be an appointee of the governor, but that we do need to have a professional engineer within the top echelons of MnDOT. And with that, I'll turn to Mr. Martini and Mr. Pignato.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Leader, members of the committee. Again, my name is Dave Martini. I am a licensed professional engineer, and I've been so since 1998. I'm here today on behalf of myself and the Minnesota Society of Professional Engineers, which I'm a member and also serve on board of directors. As a member of MSP's board, I've had discussions over the past several months with other members of the board and other organizations concerning MnDOT's relatively recent change in leadership philosophy to eliminate the position of chief engineer. The discussions that we've had center around the concern that licensed professional engineers are being further removed from the top decision-making positions at MnDOT. I believe that there are several reasons that this committee needs to consider when evaluating the need to require MnDOT to have a licensed professional engineer as deputy commissioner / chief engineer. First of all, Minnesota statute specifies that professional engineers be licensed or in order to safeguard the life, health, and safety and promote the public welfare. As a professional engineer, this is something I take very seriously, and I believe my colleagues do as well. Licensure brings with it an obligation to adhere to a code of ethics, and that brings with it an accountability to the public, other professionals, my employer, and the Minnesota Board of Licensure. Secondly, because of education, experience, and training, professional engineers have an understanding of how policy and financial decisions affect the construction and the maintenance of Minnesota's infrastructure. I believe that this can be particularly important in times of emergency because engineers can speak from both a public relations and an engineering perspective to communicate important messages to the public. Engineers also, I believe, can improve communication between other technical staff both in and outside of the department. I also believe licensed professional engineers are the most qualified to determine what other positions within the department should be held by licensed professional engineers to ensure that engineering decisions and policies that are being made are being carried through by qualified and accountable individuals. In summary, I want to leave you with the following points. The state board laws and rules regarding responsible charge requirements suggest that the individual having direct control over engineering work on behalf of the state be a licensed professional engineer. To give you an idea of how other states are structured, 11 states have a professional engineer who serves as the Department of Transportation Commissioner. Also, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, more commonly known as ASHTO, at the Standing Committee on Highways. It is made up of 52 members representing each state, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. 48 of the 52 members are professional engineers. One is vacant at the current time. One, we're unsure of whether or not it's a professional engineer or not. That's Puerto Rico. And then there are two remaining positions that are not held by professional engineers. One of those is Minnesota. Last point I'd like to leave you with is this. As the Attorney General is required to be an attorney, I believe it's equally as important that the person in responsible charge of MnDOT be required to be a licensed professional engineer. With that, I thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you, and I'll be happy to answer questions when it's necessary.
Mr. Martini, would you explain what a professional engineer... Can I take $10 and go up to licensing and get a license? Is that what we're talking about?
No, sir. A licensed professional engineer is required to have an engineering degree from an accredited university, and then is also required to work under the direct supervision of a licensed professional engineer for a period of 4 years, at which time they become eligible to take the professional engineering exam. Upon passing that exam, you become licensed.
Any further questions from Mr. Martini? If not, Mr. Magneto? Or is it Magneto? Or
Pignato.
Pignato.
Chairman Leader, again, my name is Joe Pignato, and I am here today representing the Minnesota Government Engineers Council, or commonly known as MGEC. I am, too, also a licensed professional engineer since 1996. I just want to give you a little background of what who MGEC is, and then a prepared statement from our board. So basically, MGEC, we are nearly 1,000 state employees who work as engineers, land surveyors, engineering specialists for MnDOT, the Minnesota Department of Health, the DNR, Department of Labor and Industry, Department of Administration, MPCA, and MNSCU system. So basically we're your engineers and technicians for the state of Minnesota. Our membership not only provides the state with technical engineering expertise, but also we provide expertise to municipalities, counties, and private consulting engineers and land surveyors across the state. I'm just here to say that we are in support. My board has given me permission to put this as supporting this bill. Also, we looking at some others that have also put their support into this, other organizations, other engineering organizations. They are the American Council of Engineering Companies of Minnesota, or ACEC, the American Public Works Association of Minnesota, the American Society of Civil Engineers of Minnesota, or AFCE, the Association of General Contractors of Minnesota, the City Engineers Association of Minnesota, the Minnesota County Engineers Association, MGEC, the Minnesota Society of Professional Engineers, and the National Society of Professional Engineers. So with that, I just would take questions if anybody has any questions of us.
Any questions of Mr. Pignato? Representative Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Representative Estenson and I have been in touch quite a bit over the last few weeks. I thought you were going to call me him again. I'm not sure whether this is from Mr. Martini or Mr. Pignati or Representative Morrow, but I'm just going to throw it out there for whoever is most appropriate to comment. I strongly support the principle that I'm signing on as a co-author, and I appreciate Representative Morrow bringing the bill. I think we need an engineer, the chief engineer position to be filled, or at least an engineer where we have this, where the public knows that the buck stops here on engineering decisions at MnDOT. My question has been about whether the specific mechanism of this bill, and Representative Morrow and I have talked about this a little bit, whether this specific language ends up tying the hands of MnDOT a little bit, or if down the road in a few years that we might have a commissioner who is an engineer, who is a PE, and therefore the buck might stop with that individual, how you might feel about giving a little bit more discretion to MnDOT, saying that it's one of the top three officials in MnDOT on the organizational chart needs to be a PE. Just your thoughts.
Ben Morrow or Mr. Martini?
Chair Leader, members of the committee. One of the interesting things when we started looking at this from a Minnesota Society of Professional Engineers standpoint was doing a little research on the history of this position and how things come about. You go back to, it's all the way back to 1917 when the Minnesota Department of Highways at that time was created. The first commissioner was empowered to hire a support staff and a deputy commissioner. At that time, they were required to be an engineer as well as a road builder. And since then, MnDOT's had a long line of professionals to fill that role. One of the reasons that we supported the language the way it is that in the past, or at least that I'm aware of, this has never really become an issue before where it needed to be required because it was always, that position was always there. And so with the current setup or the current organizational alignment as it is, it just raised the awareness that maybe this does need to be required to ensure that position is always there. As far as, you know, the top three positions are somewhere in there, I guess I can't speak specifically to that, but there was a specific reason why from our standpoint, we believe that it was appropriate to have one person and that it be required to be there.
Further questions, Representative Kalin?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, if I understand your question, is what if the commissioner himself or herself is an engineer, would we require that the deputy commissioner be as well? And I would certainly be happy to talk to you about language to amend or tighten that before it moves, if it does pass through here, to the Finance Committee. I also understand that MnDOT will be raising objections to this bill as well, and perhaps we could answer those questions at that time.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Morrow. I appreciate your flexibility and your openness to sort of figuring out what's the right balance between prescription and making sure that we have an engineer who is making the final engineering decisions and we can point to. Managing MnDOT has got to be an incredible task. Even managing a division or a small office. And so I think, you know, sometimes engineers are great managers and sometimes they're just good engineers. And sometimes great managers are not engineers. And I think providing a little bit of flexibility there, if we look at more reforms down the road, I think would be helpful. So we can workshop some language and appreciate that very much, Representative Morrow.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, you know, I understand there are 600 engineers within MnDOT, and this by no means casts any aspersion on any of the work that the engineers are doing. Rather, I'm trying to, and the folks at the table with me are trying to return MnDOT to having a chief engineer at a position where the buck stops, where major decisions are being made, so that there is a voice for the engineering perspective as the finance and other decisions are being made.
Representative Medora?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you, and I'm not really sure if this really, but do we have an organizational chart available so we can see exactly what positions we're talking about here? I'm a little bit confused, and maybe the listening audience would be as well.
Representative Medora, we have someone from MnDOT. They may have that. I don't know.
Mr. Chair, if I may, yes. Mr. Chair, we can get copies made. I can read off and thank you, Mr. Martini, for this. There is a commissioner. There's an assistant to the commissioner, Mr. McFarland. There's a deputy commissioner, Lisa Fries. And those are the positions that have the term commissioner appended to them.
Okay. Any further questions? Mr. Martini, are you familiar with the history of the past? You indicate that you used to be always served by a professional engineer. When did that change?
I can't, Chair Leader, necessarily speak, you know, entirely to the history of this. My knowledge is more recently and in the work that we've tried to do to research this as Minnesota Society of Professional Engineers. The information I have is that at least going back into the 80s that there has always been a chief engineer in MnDOT that has been a professional engineer. I can't speak to the whole history of that. It's my best understanding that when Ms. Fries became deputy commissioner, that was a change compared to the way the organization has been in the past, where traditionally that position has been a professional engineer who has been assigned the title of chief engineer.
And Representative Chair, well,
that's probably not too clear.
No, it's not too clear. Right, no. Here is Commissioner Molnow. This is the Assistant to Commissioner. Then it says Government Affairs and Communications. And this says Deputy Commissioner. And below that, Civil Rights Audit, and then the different divisions.
Mr. Martini, what would, although you indicate the Professional Engineers Organization, what is the title of the licensing authority in total?
It is, it's multiple. I'm glad I have it in front of here. It is the Board of Architecture, Engineering, Land Surveying, Landscape Architecture, Geoscience, and Interior Design.
Thank you. Those are all professional status by license. That's the point I was going to make. Okay.
That's correct.
Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And can you point out the first certified engineer in that hierarchy there? The first one that we run into from the commissioner down?
If you, I guess, just structurally look at the organizational chart, below this line here is where you find the professional engineers. The division leaders, Rick Arnbeck, Julie Skullman, and Robert Winter are all professional engineers, and you can kind of make out there that there's PEs behind the names that are professional engineers in that field. One thing that when we were looking at this that struck us when you look at it from an organizational chart perspective is if you consider the individuals above this line as kind of the executive committee of MnDOT, there are no PEs above that line. And so when those upper management people are getting together making decisions, setting directions for the department, there is not a PE represented among that group.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow up. Just to and to that point, do you have issues where you have non-consensus among, I would say, the department heads or the individual leads of those different departments that a position like that would act in terms of the smoothing out of this operation?
I guess I can't specifically speak to that.
Okay. Representative Severson, we'll have someone from MnDOT testifying, I see.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Not? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Parker from MnDOT, I believe. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Betsy Parker from MnDOT. Eric Rubin went back to see if he could get copies of the org chart that we could pass out to you so that you could see it better. But I would like to correct, first of all, something one of the witnesses said about in response to the question about the executive committee. There is something like an executive committee at MnDOT. It's called the Division Directors Group, and it is, in fact, composed of the people... It is composed of the people who are under the pen of Mr. Martini, I think. Kevin Gray, Finance and Administration Division Director, Tim Henkel, who's Director of the Planning Division, Rick Arnebeck, who is a licensed professional engineer, who's head of the Engineering Services Division, Julie Skullman, who is a professional engineer, who's head of State Aid for Local Transportation, and Bob Winter, who is a professional engineer, who's head of the Operations Division. So there are five people on that committee, including Lisa Fries, the deputy, and 6 people on that committee. 3 of them are licensed professional engineers. I am not a member of that group, and neither is Lucy Kender from Communications, who is on that chart. I believe that Bob McFarland occasionally, or rarely probably, attends that group, but they meet every Tuesday morning, and they are basically the executive group that the commissioner relies on for management of the department. And of the 6, 3 are professional engineers. And all of the divisions that have primarily engineering as their responsibility are headed by licensed professional engineers. And it is the department's position that the commissioner should have discretion to appoint the deputy commissioner. And I would just like to briefly read you a sentence from the statute. This is from section... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to tell you what... Can you hear me from
yeah.
here?
Yeah. Hold the other mic over, Sue, which is on your left-hand side.
Yeah. Is that okay? Sorry. I'm not an engineer, so I'm...
We can see that.
There is a state law that has to do with the appointment of department heads and deputies, and about it has a subdivision dealing with deputy commissioners. And it says the deputy commissioner shall have all the powers and authority of the commissioner, unless the commissioner directs otherwise, and shall speak for the commissioner. The primary duty of a deputy shall be to assist the commissioner in the general management of the entire department or agency and shall not consist of operating single functional areas. So I think that when the legislature wrote that law, they had in mind that they were putting over every agency a commissioner in charge of the actual management, the decisions about how to run all of the functions of the agency, and giving the commissioner an opportunity to have an assistant, a deputy, and also saying that they didn't want the deputy to be in charge of a specific technical function in the agency. They wanted the deputy to be responsible for all the functions of the agency. We've looked at some of the statutes of other agencies, and some of them require that persons have experience in the area. But, for example, the health department doesn't require that the commissioner or the deputy commissioner be a doctor or a nurse, nor does the education department statute require that it be headed by a teacher. In MnDOT, transportation is the function of the agency, and that encompasses many things in addition to engineering. One of the largest other functions that goes into the construction of both highway and transit projects is planning. And as it happens, our existing deputy commissioner is a certified planner who has an advanced degree in planning and is, I think, more responsible for that function than any engineers would be. Other functions that are very important to the management of MnDOT, including all its transportation functions, are the funding, the management of the finances of the agency, and compliance with all of the environmental laws that govern MnDOT these days. So there are many other activities that are very important to the agency carrying out its duty that have nothing to do with engineering. And as I noted, three of the five divisions are headed by professional licensed engineers, and it is in those divisions that all of the plans for highway projects and transit projects are developed and signed off on by professional licensed engineers. And then finally, there is no other state or federal requirement that the head of a transportation agency be an engineer. And if you look at the licensing statute under the practice of professional engineering, and this is from section 326.02, it says that any person shall be deemed to be practicing professional engineering who holds out as being able to perform or does perform any technical professional service, such as planning, design, observation of construction, for the purpose of assuring compliance with specifications and design. And those are functions that are assumed by many of the 600 engineers within MnDOT. I can assure you that under our current system, the Deputy Commissioner consults regularly, daily, with the engineers who head the engineering divisions of MnDOT. And, of course, it's your decision to make about that, but we have not felt internally any particular lack in terms of having the engineering guidance that we need. The engineers who head the divisions have been in MnDOT a long time and are very competent to provide advice to both the commissioner and the deputy.
Any questions? Representative Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Buck, I did 2 years of a 3-year program, a master's in architecture program, And even if I had finished that third year and gotten my master's of architecture and then practiced for a few years, the same sort of description that you read from the engineering, professional engineering statute, it's very similar in the architecture statute that I tried extremely hard to never use the term architect or architectural designer or, for this very reason, that there are very, very strict standards for these professional trades. And so I appreciate what you just said. And I do want to raise the point that somebody that's worked in the, as a PE and has worked in the engineering field for a long, long time at the county level, not someone in my own jurisdiction, but described that having the very position where you have three parallel engineers as being the problem, rather than, and there's, again, I want to really reiterate my confidence in the 600 engineers at MnDOT, including the three who head the divisions, but that they describe from their experience that they've had engineering decisions that where there isn't necessarily consensus. One might be more cautious than another in interpreting data, and that there's a possibility to kind of shop around. You know, if mom doesn't say you can do something, then maybe you'll go to dad, and if they don't say something, then maybe you'll go to grandma. And I think we need to have the grand poobah of sorts that really is responsible where the buck does stop on engineering decisions. I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Any further questions? If not, I'd like to ask a few questions, if I may. This is not a typical table organization prior to this administration. Isn't that correct? It's an altogether different table organization than we've seen in the past 6 years. Your structure is altogether different.
Mr. Chairman, I'm... I don't quite know how to answer that question. I've been with MnDOT for 30 years, and I think it's pretty much like most of the prior organizations. There was a time when Commissioner Den was there. Commissioner Den was not an engineer. We were divided. We had two deputy commissioners. One was an engineer and one was not. And the functions of finance, human resources, communications were under the non-engineering deputy, and all of the engineering and operation functions were under the engineering deputy. So to that extent, this chart is not like that at all, because that's the only time in my memory was that period when we had Commissioner Den during Governor Carlson's administration, when we had two deputies, and one was an engineer and one was not. When we had Commissioner Tinklenburg, who was not an engineer, we did have a deputy commissioner who was an engineer. That was Doug Weisar. And at that time, we did have similar divisions. Not identical to this, but similar divisions, finance and human resources. We had engineering services that was headed by Dick Stair. Operations has pretty much always been separate. At one time, our electronic communications office was under a different division. Beyond Carlson, back into the 80s, we tended to have, we had Commissioner Braun, you know, for a while. He was an engineer. But we've often had these kinds of divisions where, you know, we have in the past had assistant commissioners, but the general outline has been pretty similar.
It's fairly similar, but I think most of the time they were probably close to four. Like you see, you had assistant commissioners, or deputies, and assistants. You didn't name someone by the name of,
Gifford.
You've been with the department quite some time. I see you didn't name him. What was his title?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Gifford was Deputy Commissioner for Commissioner Molnau.
Right. I assume that basically up to the time of, which would have been Commissioner Dinn, the person on engineer, there was a different structure here. And that was consistent, I think, since the 30s or prior to that. Even in the 30s is my time, you know. But another question, if you look at the bill, there's nothing precludes the fact that says the commissioner can't appoint these people. It just says the commissioner shall appoint a registered engineer. Is that correct? I mean, I think you kind of alluded to the fact that maybe the commissioner couldn't make these appointments. The commissioner, he or she, can appoint a deputy, he or an assistant. But it says here the deputy shall be a licensed one. And I think you were concerned about the commissioner couldn't appoint. They certainly can appoint. This doesn't preclude the appointing at all. They can still appoint, but there has to be a deputy. That's the difference.
Yes, yes, Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Yeah.
We recognize that.
Representative Severson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess, you know, having... I apologize, Cleo. I'll take this back to my military background. I'm trying to figure this out. I think in terms of the different PEs that would be under those particular departments, they may all be PEs with a broad spectrum, but they're probably specialized in the particular departments. So if you're talking about a physical engineer who is going to be the, and I think that's the gist of this bill, is that there's someone who really has the final say as an engineer, and they're the ones that we go to. The intent being that they know the operations of all the other physical engineers underneath them, would still presume that they've served in each one of those departments and understand each one of those departments, and I'm not sure that you'd always be able to find someone in that capacity. So I understand where we're kind of trying to go with this, but I'm just wondering if that's even a possibility. And so I, just as a matter of debate, I see what the intent is here. I'm not sure it's necessarily always going to be advantageous for us unless we're just going to add on another position that basically, you know, puts MnDOT to another deputy commissioner.
I don't think the representative in it implies that another deputy should be there. It just implies that if there is one, it should be a professional engineer. And I think I follow you with your military background. That's the way it normally works. But even in the past, any of these people came up from, they could come up from the ranks or from outside as long as they were a professional engineer, really.
Well, Mr. Chair, and follow up.
Yes.
And typically, wouldn't they come up from the ranks, say, in Operations Division, come up through the ranks from District 7, and then go to the Operations Division, and then would they necessarily go back over to State Aid for local divisions under Electronic Communications and come up that way? They would more than likely, they would move up from the bottom, go to the Operations Division head, and then move up from there, so they wouldn't necessarily have feet on the ground exposure to State and Area Local Transportation Division or to Engineering Services Division. I guess that's my point, is that they wouldn't necessarily have experience in those other areas, which is, I think, the point we're trying to get to say that they have a broad-based knowledge that would try and bring some cohesiveness to any divisions that may be at the department head level.
That's correct, except they can move laterally without going up. They could. Laterally up or down, too. Some will move down.
Okay.
Representative Medora.
Thank you very much again, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Parker, I'm confused, and maybe you can answer this question. I'm confused why the commissioner and assistant to the commissioner are on the same level of an organizational chart. I would think that he would be, it was just, as most people would read an organizational chart, they appear to have the same level of authority, perhaps even the same person that they report to, and is that assistant commissioner at that level a new placement on the organizational chart?
Ms. Parker.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Medor, I think the reason it's drawn that way on the page is because there wasn't room to move it down, because then the communications box would have run into the boxes below it, but I think there's no question that the assistant to the commissioner position is not equivalent to the commissioner position and is subordinate to it.
Further question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps I'm just confused because I think we could that could have been perhaps maybe moved this way to show if we needed some boxes and some further depth here for the page, but that's fine if that's the way it's moving. And is the assistant to the commissioner, has there, you said that before there were three people reporting, or three positions reporting?
Well,
I'm confused on that.
Excuse me. At one time, I think in the past, it's probably been different, but there's been a maybe three as deputy commissioner, a couple assistants. It also is varied in their organizational charts. Depends on how they restructure it. Basically, there's a minimum of three with the assistant and deputy. Isn't that correct, Ms. Tucker?
Mr. Chairman, in the past, the division directors have often been titled assistant commissioners. These division directors are at the same level, basically, as assistant commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
The statute limits the number of assistant commissioners, and it's my understanding that from a human resources perspective, a person denominated an assistant commissioner is in a different retirement plan than a person not called an assistant commissioner.
Okay. Is that, you say in their plan, is that a, you mentioned that, is that a, what do you call it, civil service position, and none, they can, one, can they be discharged at the will of the commissioner? I guess, or they do they have tenure?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure about that. It's my understanding that all of the division directors serve at the pleasure of the commissioner.
That's good, I think. Even, and not to be snide about it, but even actually you serve at the do you have tenure in your title?
Mr. Chairman, I report to Mr. McFarland, and probably...
Could you be here today and gone tomorrow? That's the question. I mean, really.
I could.
You could, yeah. Representative Hartman? Not that I'm implying that, but I mean, I understand that
we could all be here today and gone tomorrow.
My understanding that at this level, above that line that you had, they feel that the pleasure of the commissioner, everyone below that is I would say it would call it tenure, but whatever it is, they don't serve at the pleasure of the commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's referred to as being in the classified.
That's
service.
The point I was, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Representative Hartman.
Mr. Chair, can I ask, was the motion to move this to the General Register? Or does this have to go anywhere else?
The motion was to go to finance.
And can I ask, does it have a fiscal note, or why is it going to finance?
That's a good question. It's not a fiscal note on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Fortman. I had called the wrong person. It must be in the fog of the past few days. I had called Mr. Burris, but I think maybe Ms. Zewis has an answer to this.
Mr. Chair, members, a fiscal note has been requested, but it's not done at this time.
Oh, that's interesting. May I, Ms. Zewis, we're not changing any...
money.
There's no status. We can request a fiscal note, but I'm kind of interested to know where it would be, because you aren't putting a new position in. It's just changing the status of a position. I would think even Ms. Parker would agree on that. So,
Mr. Chair,
if it takes a fiscal note, it'll go to finance with a fiscal note.
Right. And it came to this committee, Mr. Chair, from finance. Correct. And Mr. Chair and Representative Corbin, because the bill does not require MnDOT to create a new position, that was some of the questions that Ms. Parker and I had as to whether there would even be a fiscal note or not. But I'm looking forward to talking with Ms. DeWitt and figuring that out.
Oh, this, I'm not sure. I didn't realize this bill came from finance. I thought it originated here. So, any further questions? Representative Horton.
I think that this is a good bill and an appropriate bill at this time. I think the public, from the reaction that I'm hearing to the bill that we passed yesterday, are asking whether we're doing something on oversight and whether we're doing something to make sure that the place where we just sent this new money is managed well. And one of the things that you mentioned, Ms. Parker, was that at one point there were two deputy commissioners, one that had sort of, you know, finance and administration and human resources, and another that was more on the engineering side of the equation. I wonder, Representative Morrow, on line 1.10, why you decided to strike deputy and what the bill does, and, you know, considering joining as a co-author, allows one deputy commissioner and one assistant commissioner. Would it be, did you choose deliberately to not give the commissioner authority to have two deputy commissioners, or is that something that you're open to?
Representative Morrow.
Mr. Chair, Representative Portman, yes, I am open to that. I am open to talking about amending that. Reading the language as it was originally with four positions that the commissioner had authority to appoint, we had taken it down to three, and using one of those four to say you will have a deputy commissioner who is an engineer. But I am open to talking about amendments, and I'm open to talking with MnDOT about amendments.
It strikes me that the divide between somebody who's got the sort of business experience to run a human resources department and a finance department is probably a different set of skills than somebody who oversees an engineering department. But I think that this is the type of move that the public is asking us for in light of all the things that have happened. And not just the bridge collapse. People want to say that this is all stemming from a bridge collapse, but there's been a number of other issues raised with regard to cost overruns and things being estimated to be completed at certain times, but then they're not done at that time. And I think the biggest concern is that there's not somebody coming to the legislature saying, this is the amount of money it would take to fulfill our mission, and who has the background to say, this is how much a bridge costs, this is how much an interchange costs. And that part of requesting funding for the agency has become too politicized. So I think this is the type of reform that people are asking us for. And I hope that it goes to the floor and that we do debate this soon.
Any further questions? Do you have further comments? Representative Kaelin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry to speak so often today, but I just want to speak to Representative Portman's comments and thank Ms. Parker for I have a bill, House File 3301, that's tweaking some of the design build statutes and working with Representative Beard on doing so. And I just wanted to thank Ms. Parker for, when we spoke in our office, we spoke a little bit about wanting me not to reengage in the conversations and talk a little bit more about what you'd be willing to see and as we look at a design build, changes in light of the 35W bridge contract and the public questions. And I understand that we are going to be working together and working toward our solution there that I think at least your input will be helpful as we move forward. I want to thank you for re-engaging in that process and look forward to the conversation when we bring the bill formally to this committee.
Any further questions? Yeah. Further comment, Ms. Parker? If not, Representative Morrow, we remove his motion and House File 3090 be recommended to pass and sent to the finance? Back to finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion passed and House File 390 will be sent to finance. And the next meeting is February 28th at 4 p.m. and it's this room. I think that's it. Yes? Thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.